In these days of plastic, fiberglass and carbon fiber, owning a wooden boat is probably a declaration of love and of hope. Love for their beauty and traditional materials, and hope that it's all going to hold together and maybe not break the bank. With this in mind, I went along to the Baltimore Wooden Boat Festival in West Cork last weekend and met some of the many people involved in keeping these traditional boats alive. There were a huge variety of races and events involving many different types of boats, and one of the first involved corks.
My name is Martin O'Donoghue, and I'm a rower with Navoga Corky. And we're standing here in Baltimore, and we've just finished a pilot race, and we have a traditional Navoga 26-foot corok.
Now, this is it here?
This is it here, yeah.
How is it made? It's got a very, very light frame, and is that canvas or some type of nylon over it?
So traditionally, it would have been a canvas skin over lats of oak and a white deal gunwale then. And it acts like a drum in essence, you know. The skin holds it under tension, and the ribs are flexible, so that she'll sit on top of waves and move with waves. So it's the flexibility that gives a corok its strength, and she can handle 2 meters of swell, you know, with a good crew.
If you hit a rock, though, this is going down. It's very, very light.
Yeah, that's always the challenge. Now, we've upgraded from canvas to ballistic nylon.
What's that?
Ballistic nylon, it's just some I suppose, plastic-based thing, but we get maybe 3 seasons out of it, whereas traditionally the canvas breaks down under sunlight, and you might only get, you know, a year and a half from it, you know.
Were you involved in building this one?
So they're built, this one is built by Mehl Mara, all the corks here
we've
today.
Heard of them, yeah.
And I've repaired her over the years, so you can see there's newer pieces of wood. So they've been training me, and I've been helping with the workshop. So I've rebuilt her. She's 13 years old now. And well travelled.
How many? You've 8 here, is it? It's a very, 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 very vibrant scene.
Yeah, we've been coming to the Wooden Boat Festival now for about the last 12 years. And in fairness, they always accommodate us, welcome us. They allow us camp in the little patch there in front of the church, and they put on races for us. So we really enjoy the scene here. And it's great to use Roaring Water Bay, you know. It's a big playground.
Tell me something about Mehl Mara in Cork.
Mehl Mara is going about 24 years now. And it does a great job in kind of stewardship for the maritime history of Cork and the River Lee, and also training. So all the boats are kind of built by trainees under the supervision of the workshop staff, and they'd be professional boat builders. So you have a huge mix of people from all socioeconomic backgrounds, all walks of life, and they're taught the essence of boat building and carpentry skills and teamwork, and the outcome is a corok.
So today you had this pilot race, you dropped somebody out to another boat, picked them up after they did the race. How hard are these to row?
With a good crew, as you can see, the oar shape is very slender, and people are always confused why there's no big blade, you know. But if you have a good crew...
It's essentially like a 2-inch piece of wood.
It is, yeah. When we go to the Great River Race in London, they call them toothpicks. But we get like 6 knots out of this boat with a good crew, you know. So we're adept at rowing. And we actually have... Because coroks, there's not a whole lot known about coroks in the general kind of wider circle, so we're actually holding a seminar this year as part of Sea Fest.
So that's next week?
Next week, yeah, we have a seminar, and the whole idea is to kind of explain the story of where they've come from. A lot of people don't know the story of coroks, how they've evolved and how unique an Irish craft they are. And we're also going to talk about, you know, kind of their sustainability into the future. So we have a Norwegian guy who's involved in a UNESCO boat building project in Norway coming over to explain their methodology, and we'll be bringing experts and interested people from all over Ireland, and we'll have an exhibition of different corok types as well. So that's City Hall on 10 o'clock on the Saturday the 8th of June.
And we'll have more about some of those upcoming events later in the programme. Now, at the opposite end of the size scale to coroks, there were some really large traditional boats here. One of the most spectacular was the Sheila Addo, owned by Leo McDermott.
Leo, you've got a beautiful boat here, Sheila Addo. Tell me about it.
Thank you very much. You're very kind to say that. I have a 42-foot boat, and she's a gaff ketch. She was originally a fishing boat built by Paddy Hegarty in 1978. In Hegarty's boatyard of Old Cork.
Just up the way here.
Yes, up the River Island, where many wonderful wooden boats were built under the old castle.
How did you come to her?
I just love wooden boats, and I learned to sail actually down here in Baltimore with the sailing club that's now gone called Glenann's. And I later sailed in Dunleary. I just love wooden boats though, so I kept being drawn back to wooden boats. I used to go for drives around Arklow and Wicklow, and I would see a lot of these 50-foot fishing boats that were being decommissioned. And they were beautiful wooden fishing boats. And when the collapse happened in the building industry in Dublin, I needed a change. I could see that my work was going to disappear very quickly as I'm a carpenter. And I very quickly sold my house and managed to pay everybody off. And I was basically a free man working a three-day week. And I came down sailing here in Baltimore, and where I was happiest, with Glenann's. And I met the wooden boat community down here. And I was invited to go sailing in Glendore. And a man called Hal Sisk very kindly let me sail on his beautiful boat and let everybody on board have a go on the tiller. And it was my first experience with the gaff rig. Mm. And I was totally smitten with these traditional boats.
Yeah. So then you saw the Sheila Doe where?
Well, I was still convinced I wanted a 50-footer to rebuild as a home to live on and to turn into a cruising boat, a small ship. Yeah. And I met Liam Hegarty, and I was told he's the man that can make it happen. So I'd been to Liam's boatyard before, and I went in telling Liam my big plans and all this, and he didn't discourage me, but I'd say he meets many a fool with too much money burning a hole in their pocket and great ambitions. But Liam very promptly took me to the biggest wreck of a boat he could find and to see if I'd go for it. And I went, yeah, I'm on for that. And then he quietly talked me down out of it and explained a thing or two to me. And then he brought me to see the Sheila Adol, the boat I have now. And he said, you can do what you want to do with this boat. I didn't quite believe him, but we talked about it and I went back and looked at it again, and very fortunately he was right.
What kind of shape was she in when you got it?
She was like a little quarter decker. She was had been fishing lobster out of Skull and Long Island. And
so she could float?
Yes, but she'd been on a beach for at least a year on legs, and possibly not getting pumped out of rainwater anymore. So it was a really good time to get her because she would have gone downhill quickly. Liam was correct. It was the right size boat for me.
Were you able to do much of the work yourself?
Being a carpenter, I'm well used to the tools. All the tools are pretty much the same as shipwright tools, but completely different trade altogether. I was able to use the tools. I had the confidence, but I needed the guidance of the experts in the boatyard. And luckily, I was patient enough to listen. So it was like an apprenticeship for me, the 2 years I spent rebuilding her.
2 years isn't that long? Or did you go at it full-time?
I went at it full-time. I knew that if I didn't stick at it full-time, that it would be just another boat project that, like many others, that just decay in boatyards around the country, you know.
What do you do with her now? Where do you go?
Well, shortly after the boat was relaunched, my partner Helen delivered our first crew member. So I now actually have three Cork girls and I have a Cork boat. And I voted for the first time in Cork just the other day. So Skibbereen is our local port, and she stays on a mooring here in Baltimore, and we have lots of local adventures with the kids.
Is it a type of project you recommend for people?
It's not an easy one, but if you do take it on, it can be hugely rewarding. And for me, at my time in the life, it was the best thing that could have happened to me.
Hi, my name's Kate Baker.
Kate, you're here on a boat called the Lively. Tell me about her.
Lively is a 42-foot traditional boat that my husband, James Baker, built and designed in Cornwall. And she is a traditional West Country-style fishing boat with sort of racing lines underneath for speed. And she's our family home, and we're currently cruising her around Ireland, up to Scotland, and hopefully into the Baltic.
You built her yourself. You've got how many children with you?
We have 2 children who are 4 and 9, and they currently live on board with us.
How is life on board?
It's the norm for both of my kids and pretty much for us. I've been on a boat since I was about 8 years old, and my husband's been involved in boats all his life, and both the children were born in a hospital and came straight home to the boat, so it's norm.
You homeschool them?
We are at the moment. Normally they're in mainstream school back in the UK, but at the moment we are homeschooling for the next 4 months and just seeing how it goes and letting them experience the amazing things we find along the way.
What is your journey? Where are you going to your itinerary?
We are hoping to get up to the Isle of Man next. My daughter is very desperate to see a Manx cat, and we'd like to then carry on up to Scotland, hopefully through the Caledonian Canal, and we'd like to try and get into the Baltic and do Norway, Sweden, Germany, Holland, back down through, and then back to Cornwall for about the mid to end of September.
It sounds amazing.
We hope it will be, but we're very flexible. If we get as far as Scotland this summer, hell, if we just do Ireland, I'm quite happy with that. We just want to have some fun. We don't want to have to be stuck trying to get to places because we have a strict timetable. It's just about having experiences and having a great time.
Tell me about the boat, the Lively. How long did it take to build? Is she comfortable?
My husband built her in about 2 years while working as well. We'd been looking for a couple of years for a new boat. We'd all outgrown of our little 32-foot Colin Archer. So we started hunting, couldn't find anything. So my husband designed and built her. And she took 2 years from the loft floor up. And we finished her, and we only had her hull and deck. And then we were able to sell our old boat once we'd moved on board the new Lively. And we were able to then want the sail of the previous boat, rig her and sort her out, and then start sailing her.
How long have you been sailing her?
We started sailing her in 2016, and we just did a little cruise around Cornwall and Devon. And then last year we took her across to France and we did the French festivals. So then, yeah, here we are this year, seeing how far we can take her this year.
An amazing lifestyle.
Oh, it's pretty good, and it's great. If you don't like your neighbours, you just move.
And you should keep a lookout for the Lively and the Baker family along the west coast over the summer. Now, one of the people mentioned by Leo McDermott there was Liam Hegarty of Hegarty's Boatyard. I caught him looking over the spectacular rebuilt ketch, The Island, which was the star attraction of the day and which spent 10 years in his yard being rebuilt.
Yeah, it eventually got finished and everyone is happy with the results, I think.
Yeah, but you've got something else in your shed now.
Yeah, we've started the rebuild of the Saoirse. There was bits of it came back from Jamaica and whatnot, and with drawings, we were proceeding on with that.
How much of it did you get back? Because it famously was shipwrecked on a beach in Jamaica. When was that?
I think it was the late 70s, as far as I know. What came back in a small container, which was only bits and pieces, and we'll put them into it's a new boat.
The Saoirse was also Conor O'Brien's boat.
She was, yeah. She was the first vessel to take the tricolour around the world after the War of Independence.
So, a famous boat in Irish sailing history. You're on the rebuild. How far have you got on it?
Yeah, she's finished framing. We're ready for planking.
You've got the keel laid down. You've got the ribs up.
Yeah, keel down, ribs are up, and she's all fared up, and the lurch is on standby for putting it on her.
The question now, when you speak to boat builders, where did you get the lurch from?
Yeah, we went back to Germany for it, the same as at the Island. And Bavarian larch.
Now, I'm told that it's better because it grows in a close, colder climate, it grows slower.
Yeah, it goes slow. And the biggest problem is to get what you call European larch. There's a lot of hybrids and stuff like that going.
People who build Galway hookers tell me the larch only lasts 4 or 5 years. You get more out of this?
I hope so, anyway. We went far enough to get it.
How long is it going to take?
Well, there is a deadline on it, all right, but there's another year's work on it anyway.
Oh, is there? Yeah. So that's like it won't be like the Island. It's not as big a project, or is it?
It's smaller. The Island was 56 feet. She's the Saoirse is 42 feet, so, and a bit narrower. but it's like it's the same amount of work on a wee bit smaller.
How many people do you have working on it, and you're doing it yourself?
Yeah, we're at it ourselves. Three. You know, if we got planking, we'll probably put four people at it and make a burst on it, as they say.
Are those skills still alive? Is it still possible to get people who can do that work?
It is, yeah, but I mean, it's the guys that were good at it and do it faster are getting thinner on the ground.
Another boat builder I met there was Rui Ferreira. He'd come from Portugal and set up shop in Ballydehob.
Yes, I came because I met someone growing up in Ballydehob. She's been here now for 41 years. I felt attractive to this place and I came over here and we met in a boat building course and we kind of slowly got into the boat building business.
Tell me about your boatyard and the type of projects you do there.
Well, I have a very small workshop indoors and my projects are up to 27 feet. That's as maximum I could take from a boat.
All of wood?
All of wood. I don't do work on fiberglass.
What type of boats have you built recently?
Recently I built a WEG for Dunleary for a person called Martin Byrne.
Very well-known sailor who, and a WAG is a small wooden sailing dinghy, a traditional build.
That is, indeed. It's one of the oldest one designs in the world. And it's a class of which has been raising year by year. The numbers are increasing and is well-attended. So I'm very glad to have the privilege to build one for them.
Tell me about this boat you have here today. It's absolutely stunning.
This boat was built in Castle Townsend by the Manny brothers in 1952. The Manny brothers built boats between 1930 and 1960s, and then both brothers died, and no one took over the boatyard over there. And it was a coincidental of facts that I got involved with this class. I got given one by someone which bought a house in Falnemok, and this boat was lying in a garden, rotting away. And he wanted to give it away to someone that may enjoy sailing. And I liked the lines of it and the restorer. And that was the revival of this class, basically.
Okay, tell me about it. She's about 18 feet?
She's 15 foot 10 with a 2 foot bowsprit.
Yeah, so that's 18.
Nearly there. And she is gunter rig with a very small jib and a very large mainsail. She's a centerboard. With shallow draft boat, so she's a fantastic boat to sail.
So she's an open cockpit, and the deck of wood, you replace the deck, that's the caulking you did there?
Yes, there was only one in the class with a swept deck called Alouette, which was the first boat built in 1932. And this is a three-quarter deck boat, and the mast is step deck. It's true deck, sorry. And I just copied the design of the number one. So none of the others had swept deck. They were going to canvas deck because of weight, but I liked it, the swept deck, and that's why I did it this way.
How many of these are in your class?
At present moment, there are 14 existing.
Really? Okay. And do you get together very often?
It's a very unique class. We get together for 10 days a year only.
Where was that?
In Castle Townsend, obviously. And most people came to Castle Townsend for holidays, for the 10 days a year, and that's when we sailed solid for every single day.
Now, you're going off home now, you've been able to load her up on a trailer and take her away, no problem?
No problem. She's very easy to handle, and she's very easy to maneuver and easy to put on trailers. It's a fantastic boat for the area, and it was designed for this area.
So what type of projects are you doing in your shop at the moment?
At the moment, I start another WEG, and I'm busy during the summer because I maintain these boats. People that when they come for the 10 days, so I maintain them in my yard and I rig them and launch them for them so they don't have to do that bit of work. So it's a service which I provide, and that's what I'm busy at the moment.
Another level of boat building on display was seen in what's known as the Carberry Challenge, where competitors had to build a boat in a day, then sail it. Most sank, but I spoke to the winners.
My name is Zachary Laplow. I'm from out in Durris myself, but yeah.
tell me about this boat that you just built yesterday and you won a little race here today.
Yes, I'm very proud of the Queen Bee. We just built her over the day yesterday, you know, with a bit of help from, well, the collection of friends we have, and, you know, we did quite well with her. Barely took on any water, maybe just a pint at most, but, yeah, very proud.
And you're also the only one that didn't sink.
Yes, that's the truth of it. The other lads, unfortunately, didn't make it more than halfway, but, hopefully next year we'll have a bit more floating competition, at least.
You even had a sail, but it didn't really work very well.
Yeah, the sail was a bit chaotic on the way back with the wind blowing the other way. We couldn't really steer it to get back, so we kind of ended up a bit into the rocks and had to paddle back at the end, but I'm sure it worked well.
Are you involved in boating yourselves and with your friends here?
Myself, the only boating I do is kayaking, but aside from that, this is my only real experience with boats, you know.
The workmanship is pretty good.
Yes, well, what you call it, on our team we do have one carpenter who is kind of giving us pointers and tips and, you know, drew a couple of blueprints for us, so it was credit to him, Atty, you know.
Do you get a prize?
Well, last year there was T-shirts that are going around, so hopefully I can get myself a new outfit, you know.
A thanks to Zachary and his friends.